Our second case this morning is United States against Miller. Brief announcement at the beginning. We received on Friday a motion for leave to file and a motion to disqualify counsel. The motion for leave to file is granted. The motion to disqualify counsel is denied. We also have pending motions and responses on the jurisdictional question. The court will take those motions under advisement and we will act on those in due course. Today's oral argument will focus on the issue briefed by the parties regarding the motion to suppress the evidence resulting from the urinalysis test. The government is the appellant. Counsel for the government, you may proceed.
May it please the court, I'm Captain Jamie Mendelson, and together with Colonel Jared Arbus, I represent the United States, the appellant in this case. The issue before this court, as certified by the Judge Advocate General of the Air Force, is whether the military judge abused his discretion in suppressing the results of appellee's urinalysis test as an invalid inspection under Military Rule of Evidence 313. This court should find that appellee's urinalysis was the result of a valid inspection under MRE 313 and should reverse the military judge's ruling. Appellee is a reservist who was called to extended active duty and assigned to the Logistics Readiness Squadron at Westover Air Reserve Base. Westover, like all Air Force bases, has an installation-wide drug testing program that's directed by AFI 43-1. Pursuant to the AFI, the installation commander establishes the base-wide drug testing program and ensures that the program is administered in accordance with the AFI. Also pursuant to the AFI, there is a drug testing program manager who's responsible for the day-to-day running or operations of the drug testing program. On the 10th of September 2000...
Is there a base regulation at Westover establishing this program?
There is in record a local base regulation. However, it's the government's position that the establishment of this program is through the directive of the AFI 44-120.
And the commander need do nothing?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The commander need do nothing?
You mean the installation?
Base commander.
In accordance with the AFI, it's the installation commander's responsibility to establish the program.
Is there a reg establishing this program at Westover?
In terms of, like, a standing order?
A standing order, a base regulation, a base instruction, anything of the sort.
There's no evidence of a standing order. However, there is a local base regulation that does designate locally the responsibilities of this drug testing program.
Well, what are you referring? What is AMDS Operating Instructor Instruction 44-104?
Your question is,
Are you or are you not drawing our attention in response to Judge Stuckey to AMDS Operating Instruction 44-104?
Yes, sir.
This operating instruction implements AFPD 44-1 and AFI 44-120. What impact, if any, does that document have with respect to your response to the previous question?
This regulation is, as you stated, implementing the, at this base, the drug testing program as directed in AFI 44-120.
But before, you didn't reference it at all, so does that mean you think it's irrelevant to this case? You said the government's position is that this whole thing is predicated on the Air Force-wide instruction.
It's not the government's position that this is wholly irrelevant. It's the government's position that this local operating instruction isn't necessary to have the establishment of a base-wide urinalysis inspection program pursuant to the commander of the installation commander.
Okay. Well, if it's not necessary, what is necessary? Doesn't the commander have to do something? Does the commander have to order people to provide samples?
In a situation like this where there is a comprehensive regulation that mandates the establishment and implementation of a base-wide drug testing program, you don't have to have a specific order necessarily. It's not the same case as a squadron commander who decides on a particular day that he's going to conduct a unit sweep of his squadron, so all of the dorm rooms within his squadron are going to be inspected. Well, usually there you have an order because that defines the scope of the inspection, the purpose of the inspection, the parameters of the inspection, but here all of that is defined by an Air Force instruction, and that's 44-120.
Okay, what was it, what did the appellant, in, well, you're the appellant, what did the accused in this case receive from Major, was it Ryan?
Yes, Your Honor. That was a memorandum that is generated by the computer testing or the computer software that generates the list of the randomly selected individuals. And that is, it was entitled Order, I think it was Order to Report for Drug Testing. And it states that it stated in the body of it that in accordance with AFI 44-120, that appellee was randomly selected and hereby ordered to provide a specimen for urinalysis testing. However, the
did it not also state that disobedience of this order was sanctionable under the code?
Absolutely.
It did.
And what that serves as, Your Honor, is the notification to the individual that you have been selected for this inspection, and it creates the duty to report, which is distinct from, is a completely different question.
Could he have been court-martialed if he hadn't showed up under Article 92?
Not under failure to obey a lawful order.
Because it's not a lawful order?
There could be a dereliction of duty offense. But it's not going to be, in this set of facts and circumstances, it's not an enforceable order because on that day, Major Ryan was, in fact, in his
civilian
status. But it's the government's position.
Can a civilian issue a lawful order?
A civilian cannot issue an enforceable order.
An enforceable law.
So the President of the United States can't issue an order?
No, that's not.
Secretary of Defense can't issue an order?
Yes, they can.
Are they civilians?
Yes, they are.
Can a GS-13 at Westover issue a lawful order?
Probably not an enforcement.
Okay, probably not an enforcement. All right, he received something that purported to be an order, signed by someone purporting to be an officer in the United States Air Force, and threatening him with sanctions under the code if he didn't obey. How is that not an order?
Well, in the analysis,
it quacks like an order. It looks like an order. It purports to be an order. How is it not an order?
Well, I guess the point that the government is trying to make is that the analysis of whether that memorandum that Major Ryan signed on that day would have been an enforceable order in terms of if appellee had failed to show up, failed to report for your analysis testing, that he could have been prosecuted and convicted of Article 92 failure to obey a lawful order. But that analysis is irrelevant to the question at hand, which is, was this a proper inspection under MRE 13, which requires that an inspection is an evaluation of the whole or part of the unit for a proper purpose, to ensure military fitness, good order and discipline, etc., as an incident of command. That's the issue.
Command isn't lodged in nothing. Command has to be lodged in someone. Someone has to exercise it. Who exercised it here?
The installation commander.
Did the installation commander give the order?
It's the inspection.
Was the installation commander on active duty on the day the order was given?
He was in civilian status.
He was in civilian status.
And, you know, when we talk about order, that order signed by Major Ryan was merely to notify appellee of his selection to submit to the inspection that's pursuant to the base-wide your analysis program. So the analysis is this drug testing program at Westover Air Reserve Base, is this properly an incident of command? And the answer to that is yes, and that's where the military judge misapplied the law, because he solely focused on this written memorandum signed by Major Ryan, and is that or is that not a lawful enforceable order? But it's the government's position that that's not germane to the issue of whether this...
Could a civilian order a sweep of the barracks? Could a civilian exercise inspection authority under MRE 313?
Well, I think that that's debatable to some point, because although MRE 313 says as an incident of command, the drafter's analysis...
Well, and you've admitted a civilian doesn't exercise command, or I thought you did. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, under AFI 51-604, it says that a civilian cannot command a unit. However, they can exercise supervisory responsibility.
Other than, of course, the commander-in-chief. Let's not leave the commander-in-chief out, since we are a constitutional government.
Yes, Your Honor.
So broad-based statements about how civilians can't exercise command are somewhat absurd in the face of the fact that the commander-in-chief is a civilian. But you can use that as a footnote if you like.
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, where does Rule 313 require a commander to give an order to a particular individual in order to have that individual be subjected to an inspection?
It doesn't. There is no requirement.
So let's go back to where we were at the beginning of the argument, try to figure out what the chain of authority was here in the question you didn't answer from Judge Baker and Judge Stuckey. Who established the program at the installation?
That would be Brigadier General Ferris, the installation commander, and that was established through the testimony of the drug program manager, which is Senior Master Sergeant Van Linden, and that this was the installation commander's
okay.
program.
So he established an installation program. And under that installation program, how would individuals be selected for participation in your analysis?
Certainly, under a commander's authority to inspect his unit, he can delegate inspection, the carrying out of the inspection.
And under that specific program, who had the authority to order any individual to be inspected? You said you've got a regulation or program in place. Under that program, who had the authority to order particular individuals to be inspected?
Well, the order or the authority for the inspection flows from the installation commander. But within the framework of the drug testing program...
Let's just talk about the installation program. Under the installation program, who had the authority to order an individual to be inspected?
Well, the government's answer to that question is, who's ordering the inspection? That's the installation commander. Who's providing the notification and ordering the person to report that they have a duty to report? That's supposed to be the unit commander.
Okay, and in this case, under that program, did a unit commander order this individual to be inspected?
Not in this particular case.
Okay, so in other words, we have an inspection that doesn't comport with the regulation.
Well, but as this court stated in U.S. v. Beckett, which is a 1998 case, that minor deviations in the implementation of a broad regulatory scheme, such as the military's urinalysis program, do not render all samples and results inadmissible as a matter of law.
I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out what the framework is we're operating under here. So the framework we're operating under here is that there is a installation urinalysis program, and we have a requirement for an individual to participate in that program that was issued not in accordance with that regulation. And the government is now arguing that the failure to abide by the regulation is not significant in this case because...
Because, again, it's simply a minor deviation in the implementation of the program. The
giving of an order by a civilian, by a person not authorized to give it, is a minor deviation?
Well, yes, Your Honor. When you look at it from the perspective that That provision in the AFI that states that the unit commander is the appropriate official to provide that order, that is not a section of the provision of the AFI that is aimed at conferring some kind of substantive right on the individual. When you look at it, it's